Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Good. I'm excited to dive into this today.
Yeah, so we'll get started here. For the listeners, Elizabeth and I have been batting around talking about a quote I came upon a week or so ago, 2 weeks, whatever. And it's by Oscar Wilde, who we actually have quoted in the past. So he's like a favorite of ours. And we thought it could elicit pretty good content. So the quote is, "Criticism is the only reliable form of autobiography." Take for a minute, think about that. While I try to explain why it struck me. So there were two things that struck: the fact that criticism can be an autobiography of somebody. What you're hearing from somebody when they're criticizing you could tell them a lot about who they are. I also liked the fact that he put in is the only reliable form, because I feel, and this is my personal opinion, when someone is criticizing you, whether it's constructive or it's just not, they kind of drop the filter that they might have about revealing who they actually are to the world, because they feel it's being directed at another person, so they don't have to have that filter in place. Whereas Oscar, and I agree with him, feels that's actually when you can really see into them the best. If you think about it, it's not apparent on the surface sometimes. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this. When I reflect back on when I've received criticism from people, and I've been maybe somewhat surprised, and then I think about it, and I think about that person, and I think about their personality. And if I know them well, I think about where that could be coming from, not just in our current interaction, but where it could be coming from what they've gone through their whole life.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting quote. And I was thinking about it yesterday in the context of something that came up, which is why I felt excited to dive into this today. So I was particularly anxious yesterday about stupid stuff, just life logistics stuff that really don't matter in the scheme of things. And my friend said to me, "I'm experiencing you as being really anxious. And I've had this thought that you often refer to yourself as a type A entrepreneur. And you don't really need to be a type A entrepreneur anymore. You have gotten to the point that you can relax a little bit. And you aren't really changing your day-to-day life to reflect that. You're still waking up at 4 in the morning. You're working 3 hours before most people even wake up, and you're always moving throughout the day. And I just wonder if you referring to yourself as a type A entrepreneur is keeping you in a pattern that you don't want to stay in, because it seems like you're in this perpetual state of anxiety." I thought that he had a really good point, and I'll explain that later, but it did actually feel like criticism. I think in large part because I really value my ability to optimize time, and I like to continue moving, and I like waking up early in the morning to get some things out of the way in my quiet personal space. And it kind of felt like I was being criticized for something that is really core to my personality. And I think that there's some lessons in there. So, Sheila, you're just really good at helping me process my thoughts. So, I guess to start, what comes up for you when I share that, and how do you think that relates to the wild quote?
Well, there's two directions. One could be you're questioning labeling yourself as a type A entrepreneur, and are you trying to perpetuate that label, even if it's not something that you feel is what you value about yourself? And I want to put that aside right now because, more to the point, because you do value it. And I mean, I acknowledge that. I know you pretty well. And so I'm more interested in where that criticism for you, to you, was coming from in your friend to feel as if those things that your friend was reflecting about maybe you shouldn't be doing this, maybe you should change it, was that because you were lamenting that you hated being like that? Or it was more, as the quote says, it was more coming from the autobiography of the person who was being critical about what they value and what they think is the right direction to propel their life, live every day. And that's what makes it so interesting. I mean, I think there's two layers to it because when we get criticism, we usually do immediately internalize it and we don't think about where it's coming from, what the impetus inside that person is. We just think about, oh my gosh, that's who I am. I have to try to think about how I can change this is a visceral reaction because criticism is not pleasant, even if it's constructive and said kindly. And so I think in any situation where we're receiving something like that, pausing and doing the two-layered thing. Okay, is this true that I'm like this and I want to change? I should change. And then the second is, why is this person feeling like they should be providing this kind of commentary to me? And maybe I can learn, especially if it's somebody who you care about and you want to continue a dynamic and have good communication. It's like understanding that. Not that you're going to immediately go back and say, this is more about you than it is about me. So I'm not going to listen to anything you're saying because you need to figure out why you're saying it first. It's more, both those layers are in there, and I think we lose sight of that. I know I do. I know I do. When I am criticized, I immediately defend. And that's about me. I immediately defend my actions. Others, which is, a way that people react to criticism, immediately attack some more. If they didn't attack with the criticism, if the criticism was kindly provided, but somebody comes back and says, well, you think I do that? Well, you do this, then, oh my gosh, escalate, escalate, escalate. And, it's not productive. And I hope I'm not getting lost in the weeds a little bit about that, but I do think there's such a place for this thought to analyze criticism if you can more dispassionately. Because, like I said, when people are criticized, I mean, you got to have a pretty thick skin to not feel a little bit in your stomach when somebody's saying something that you feel like, I don't really know. I don't think that I'm like that. I don't want to be like that. Is that how you felt? Like in that moment, was there any thought in your head about why are they saying this to me? Where is this coming from them? Or was it pretty much, oh my gosh, am I really like that? Oh, maybe I should change. Maybe I, and you just went into total self-analysis, which is good, especially if you trust the person and you feel it's coming from a good place, the criticism, but it essentially removes them from that piece.
Right. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So I guess I'll start by answering your most recent question, which is that when he said that to me, I didn't have a single thought of why is he saying this to me? Is it relating to something that he's reflecting about himself? I immediately went into feeling like maybe I needed to change, which is another topic of that's my personality. But in thinking about the topic of this podcast and this quote, I want to start asking the question of, is there a reason why this person feels that they need to bring this up to me? And I can't speak for him, but I will actually ask him this question directly now because I'm curious. First, I know he cares about me, and I was particularly anxious yesterday. And I know as a friend, when I have friends who are that anxious, it's hard to watch when you care about somebody. So I'm sure there was something, some of that in there. Also, he has shared with me that he values that he has a low stress level and that when he experiences other people as being anxious, that it makes him anxious. And so that's hard for him. I therefore felt both badly that I had probably made him feel anxious because I was anxious. But also, I feel like that's taking a little bit more than 100% responsibility. I'm taking more than my full responsibility and wanting to change so that he doesn't feel that way. He also has the ability to control how he reacts to my reaction. And
Bingo. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I had to interject. I mean, as you were saying, he's a low stress person, low anxiety, but when you get anxious, that makes him, well, that's him. Like he has
Right.
the ability to not let your anxiety, unless you're like, I don't know. I don't know how you exhibit anxiety. I don't know if you're just like clinging or, like making it such a situation where it's uncomfortable.
Right.
Because, and I'm the reason why I'm expanding a little bit is because I'm an anxious person, and I've had people who are very close to me. I mean, my sister specifically, my sister who died last year, we were polar opposites. It sounds like there's a little of the same thing going on. She was so chill, low key, a lot of different reasons for that. And I was the kind of, vibrating one in a lot of situations. And the thing that I valued about our dynamic is that she kind of allowed it. Like she wasn't like, I mean, there were times, and I'm not saying it was a perfect thing where I wasn't being told sometimes stop that. But for the most part, it was just okay. You're wired so much tighter than I am in a lot of ways. And there were a lot of moments throughout our decades together where she valued that. She said, like, you accomplish things that I don't because you're wired that way. And so instead of it being critical, like you need to change, it's like acknowledging, all right, wow, yeah, you are vibrating again. But let's see how we can make lemonade out of this lemons of we're different. I wouldn't be like that. But gee, because you like to look ahead 10 miles and you have to be early and you have to make plans, there have been situations where it's really been to, speaking for her, as she had said, my advantage. Sometimes not so much. So I hope that circles back to the interaction that you had, because Nobody has the right to say, your anxiety is making me feel anxious, so stop. What they need to do is say, okay, to themselves, I'm feeling more anxious because this person's anxious. I need to bring that down a notch inside of me.
Yeah, and also, I think when you look at criticism from others through this lens, it can give you empathy for the other person as well. So, what might have happened in this situation is that I was actually giving him a ride to the airport, and we had a lot of stuff to do to be able to get to the airport on time. And because I'm really good at seeing these are all the things that need to be done between now and then and lining that out. And I'm not always great at projecting how much time that's going to take. That's another story, but I am pretty good at thinking through all the things that need to happen. And so I was feeling anxious because there was a lot of stuff that needed to happen, or that we wanted to happen, I should say. None of it really needed to happen. It was not a life or death situation. And so he was really relaxed about it. And as a result, he got kind of stressed out because he didn't project enough time for something that took longer than anticipated. And so maybe, again, I don't want to speak for him, but maybe he was feeling like, oh, I'm just relaxing and therefore I'm not getting the stuff done that I wanted to. And maybe this person who's buzzing around me is annoying me a little bit more because I might be judging myself about maybe not being anxious enough. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him, but it feels like that could be a logical conclusion that he may have been thinking something like that in his head.
I think you nailed it there. I think even, I've probably been talking more about the reaction like of my sister or others to my anxiety, but I feel like I'm embracing that truth of it, that I could then become critical of people who are more low key than I am. And it's like when they exhibit their personality, something gets triggered in me that maybe I should be more like that. So it's the opposite to what you were just expressing that he might be feeling, but I do agree, especially if, as you said, some things weren't getting done in as timely a way or a manner that was necessary, and he was acknowledging that maybe. And so then it felt like, oh, maybe I am mismanaging something here, but I don't want to acknowledge that. Because sometimes we don't want to acknowledge when our personality traits can sometimes make things go awry a little bit. So the easier thing to do is to, and it's a strong term to say lash out. I don't imagine it was a lashing out, but to get back to the points I was trying to make earlier, sometimes that's what happens to people. It's a defense
And
mechanism.
exactly. And he definitely did not lash out at me. I'm lucky in that this friendship is a very healthy, amicable friendship. And he gave me this feedback with kindness. However, I have definitely had situations in my life where criticism has not come in a cool and collective way, and that I have not delivered criticism in a cool and collective way. And actually, this is an example of when I did deliver it in a cool and collective way, but I think it's an interesting illustration of something that was autobiographical for myself. So I've been getting more courage to be honest. And I was talking with someone who was just really being critical of the substandard, in her view, services of some of the places that she goes to. And I said, I'm having a hard time listening to this because I feel like you've elevated to a whole nother level of snobbery, and it's really hard to listen to. And to her credit, she just sort of stopped in her tracks and she said, I appreciate that. And she shared some things about why she was doing that and realized that it maybe wasn't the most productive thing to be doing. But I realized after the fact that I was so triggered by her doing that because I feel like I've raised to another level of snobbery. I have just been really intolerant of things like bad service at restaurants and things that didn't used to bother me, like neighbors who don't clean up things in their yard and stuff like that. And I've just been very critical of those people. And so when she was doing the same thing, it was really triggering me because I was judging myself for doing the same thing.
Oh, I mean, listening, that's the thought that kind of flickered. Did you actually use the term you've elevated this to another level of snobbery?
Yeah, I did. I
Oh
was
my
pretty
God.
blunt
Like,
about it.
how? But it's not just blunt. I mean, there's a way of saying that, and you know that.
Yeah.
That could get the point across without using. I mean, there is nobody, I think, that wants to be called a snob.
Right.
I mean, I haven't
Right.
even heard that word in like forever, snob. But yeah, I mean, there's other ways of saying, wow, this is kind of bothering you. And it's, it is hard. But the fact that you use that word and then you've just reflected that you're almost feeling like you've raised it inside yourself to, but I guess the difference is from what I'm hearing is you don't really exhibit it outwardly, it's in your head. But you still don't like it being in your head.
Well, I say it outwardly, but I don't say it, I don't broadcast it, but I do say it outwardly to others. And it's not a great quality. I don't like that I'm doing that.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of have it at times.
Yeah.
But to get back to good old Mr. Wilde, you just proved the quote.
Yeah.
And I think, you really do relish, I think, situations where you can learn something, especially about yourself.
Right.
And so that's why I feel like just that one sentence that he put out there can improve interactions with pretty much everybody, really. I mean, things that still bother us from the past, if we are mind to, we can go back and maybe let go of some of the anger we might be feeling about the words that landed on us, if we can understand that it was coming from somewhere else. It wasn't about us.
Right.
One personal story, and this is from a while ago in a job that I was in. I felt as if I was being criticized more than my colleagues by our supervisor on a fairly regular basis for things that I didn't even feel were justified. But, the employment situation, it was a different time then. You weren't filing grievances every 5 minutes. You were more accepting of it. And amazingly enough, I didn't even solicit the conversation. This person left to take another job, and she came into me before she left. And she was going through some internal investigating and whatever. And she said, "I want to apologize to you because I've realized that you resemble someone from my childhood who bullied me,
Oh,
who
wow.
created all kinds of horrible feelings inside of me." And I'm thinking, I resent, like, she was talking about when she was, 9 or 10, and we were both adults. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm not, it wasn't, I didn't want to drill down and say, how did I resemble? But it was a revelation. I had no idea. And once I did, I wish I had known it sooner. Like, I wish she'd come to that conclusion earlier, and then we could have had a really nice working relationship after that. But better late than never. And so it just changed the way I felt about the whole experience of working under her for the positive. because I could understand, all right, it wasn't about me. So it helped me. I'm imagining it helped her to say it, and the fact that we were able to have a nice conversation and leave on very amicable terms. So maybe that's why that quote rang a bell inside of me. It reminded me of that situation from, oh gosh, I'm trying to think how long ago. Easily like 25 years.
Well, yeah, you just kind of have to take the good with the bad with criticism, I guess. But
Yeah.
I'm
You do.
hoping that my criticism will be heard as feedback rather than criticism, and I'm working on that because I do think I've spent a lot of wasted energy on criticism in the past, and I'd prefer not to do that. And some people don't want any feedback at all. We've talked about that a little bit in the podcast before. I really crave feedback, even criticism. I really like to learn, as you mentioned, and some people just aren't that way. So I'm trying to have more respect for the fact that not everyone is like me.
Right. And to not the opposite, but because I've been exploring how when we receive criticism, we need to have a thought process about ourselves and then the other person. When we're about to criticize, when the thought comes to mind, I feel like I want to present some constructive criticism to this person. Maybe that's also a moment to pause for all of us and say, why? Is it because you just think this will help them and you need to have it said? Or is it also coming from a place inside of yourself that addresses, as you just talked about with the snob thing, something that you almost need to release from yourself and put it on somebody else? I don't know. Is that like projecting? Is that within that whole psychological term?
I don't know. I
Although
think
it
we should
isn't,
just
it
go with
isn't.
it.
Yeah, it isn't, because that I think projecting is the person really isn't exhibiting that kind of behavior. You're just projecting your own. So,
Right.
yeah. So, this is why I am not a psychologist, and this is why we have disclaimers.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Well,
yeah.
I think we're just a work in progress, and I'm happy to be a work in progress side by side, you, Sheila.
Yeah, no, me too. And along with an assist from good old Oscar every now and
Right.
then. Our new go-to guy, I guess. Yeah.
Well,
All
thanks
right.
for this conversation, and I always learn something, and until next time.
Yeah, me too. Bye, Elizabeth.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical-related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.